Welcome to Irish Illustrated's Tracking the Trail. I'm Drew Mentak, joined by Irish Illustrated's senior recruiting analyst Eric Thomas and 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports national college football recruiting analyst Tom Loy. We're here to discuss Notre Dame's big junior day this past weekend. A number of big-time recruits were on campus, including several five-star prospects. But we're going to start with three-star running back Lathan Wisenton out of Waco, Texas, who committed to the Fighting Irish last night. Tom, how did Notre Dame get this one done so quickly after the visit?
It's the Juwan Cider effect, man. He essentially gets who he wants, and he's proven that in the past, and it doesn't hurt when you have at one time a Heisman favorite in your backfield, and it's incredible what he's done with Jadarian Price and all of these guys and Jeremiah Love. I mean, it's a special group in that backfield, so guys want to be a part of it. So Lathan Wisenton is a guy that we at 24/7 Sports like a lot. We had him in our Navy All-American Bowl last year, and he's a guy that I feel like it's funny that people look and say, oh, he's a three-star. People don't like him that much, which I think is it's ridiculous. Like, he's right on the cusp of that top 247 and that fourth star. And he's a guy who's been super productive at the high school level. He's got a great offer list. He's a great kid. And he was a major, major priority for Juwan Cider, Marcus Freeman, Mike Denbrock, and the rest of the guys in South Bend. So in the end, this is kind of how it works out. You visit Notre Dame, you kind of get that feel. I mean, you guys get it, you know it, you feel it right away once you get on campus, and then a lot of guys do not waste much time. So this was a really nice get. He's going to be part of a two-man class, and this is a kid that I'm excited about. You turn on the tape, he's a guy who struggles to get tackled. He does not go down on first contact. I mean, he's a guy that our national analyst Gabe Brooks he put the scouting report on Wisenton's profile at 24/7 Sports. He was raving about him. So really, really nice get for Notre Dame.
And Eric, what are your thoughts on Wisenton? I know Tom just touched on it as well. And what does this do for Notre Dame's two-man running back class?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting take for, like you said, the two-man dynamic, because obviously there's quite a few targets on the board, and there was, what, 327 running backs there just this weekend. So obviously they're taking a pretty big swing above the total amount of takes here at this point. But taking Wisenton this early, I mean, he's a guy who, as Tom said, is exceptionally talented despite the ranking. And there's kind of two things that I go to. If you look at his 247 profile, they actually have him cited for a 10.54. 10.54, 100 meter from earlier this year. Obviously, that's elite track speed. And then you look at his production at the high school level. This is a guy who every single year has markedly improved his efficiency. His yards per carry have gone up. The amount of scores he's getting every year has gone up. And last year, he actually carried the ball less than his sophomore year, but still had more total yards and more touchdowns. I mean, this is a guy who is a really explosive playmaker, and he's only getting better at that year over year. So as far as buying into, you know, a prospect at a three-star prospect at this point for Notre Dame, like, that's the type of profile that you want to add to the room, especially if you're trying to replace guys like Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, who were explosive playmakers. You know, any given snap, they were a threat to take it.
Yeah, definitely. And what does this do now for the class? You said they want to get two guys. So where do they go after getting their first commit at that spot?
Yeah, they have a couple of updates there. So Trey Segar, his name's David, but he goes by Trey. He actually scheduled his official visit for June 19th. He's a guy who was also here this last weekend. The feedback from the trip for him was excellent. There's some heavy hitters in his recruitment, so it's not like a linear path to get it over the finish line there. But he's a guy who Notre Dame has, ever since they really started to like seriously take a swing here in this offseason, they've just been hitting all the right marks. And, you know, the faith component is something that really matters to him. The education component really matters to him and his family. So there's just a lot of boxes being checked in that side of things. And then another guy who was here this weekend is, you know, another sort of second option for that two running back, if you'll call it that, Isaiah Rogers. He's a guy who was previously seemed like he was like all Penn State for a while, but he's been pretty diligent about keeping things open, taking looks at other schools and not just letting that be a foregone conclusion. And Notre Dame seems to have checked every single box this weekend. I think, you know, in Tom's wrap-up, he actually wrote that Notre Dame seems to be the outright leader at this point. So a lot of momentum in that race. I'd say either of those two look really good. And there's a few other top targets, like Noah Roberts is looking to get back this spring. And, you know, there's a few guys who have set official visits as well.
Some and Notre Dame also had a ton of big time linemen on campus, including a few I've had a chance to see in person in the past, like Cam Wagner and Jackson Vaughn. But let's start with the 2027 defensive line prospects on campus. Tom, how did the staff do with this group?
Yeah, I think you said you're talking about the defensive line.
Defensive line for 2027.
I mean, I think it's kind of interesting how this whole thing's going to play out because they had a bunch of guys on campus, and I feel like if you talk to the people in South Bend, maybe they're overly optimistic, maybe they're not, but they're feeling pretty good about it. I mean, I think that they're in a really good spot with a guy that's been a major riser for 24/7 Sports, and that's Aiden O'Neal, whether he's a defensive lineman and edge rusher, whatever you want to call it. I think they're in a really good spot, and this was a great opportunity for Charlie Partridge, Chris Ash, and those guys to kind of get their hands on him, get to know him a little bit better, and really make a move. I mean, Braden Parks is a guy, the top 247 defensive lineman out of Illinois. He's a guy we've talked about a million times. I think that they're in a really good spot there. I mean, I would be. He's got too many ties to Notre Dame to not think he's gonna, to think he's gonna end up elsewhere. The one that really stood out for me was Jackson Vaughn, a top 100 in 2028. I mean, you get to know this kid, and he's so impressive. He checks every box. He's a Notre Dame fit on and off the field. I mean, this kid, there is some chatter about potentially moving into the 2027 class. Right now, he says he's staying in 28, but again, the discussions are still happening. But if I were a betting man, I would say right now Notre Dame's the team to beat for the New Jersey native, and which helps with the fact that his best friend, although they don't go to the same school, Taj Gray, top 100 linebacker in 2028. Those guys, I am very confident are going to end up at the same school. And right now, if I were a betting man, I would think that they both end up at Notre Dame. So, I don't want to take all the guys where things stand along the defensive line. So, Eric, if you want to chime in on some other guys that, I mean, I know there's a couple edge rushers that some elite guys that you might have a little nugget on.
Absolutely. And just on that last note with Taj Gray and Jackson Vaughn, you gotta love two Irish invasion standouts who are looking to play together, man. That's good stuff. But with some of the other, like, obviously there's some big name defensive linemen that are on campus, KJ Green, Zyron Forstall. Both of those players had, by all accounts, excellent visits at Notre Dame. Now, the big question at this point is where does Notre Dame actually fall in, the stack? Like with Zyron Forstall, Notre Dame really impressed. All the feedback coming out of his camp is how much they helped themselves, but the impression is still, we think Texas A&M probably still has the edge. So there's a little bit of a gap to make up with those guys. And with KJ Green, it's honestly, Tom, you may have a better idea than I do, but I feel like it's tough to get a feel of exactly how things are shaping out with him any given moment. But I know Notre Dame's kind of in that top, four or five group, but I don't think he's in a mode where he wants to make decisions or, look before the official visits. So I have a hard time saying exactly where they slot in, but what I would say about Green is the Irish are within striking distance, but they have work to do if they want to get him in the class. Go
Just
ahead.
to add on that real quickly, just Forstall, for one, I was told, like I asked the sources, a really good source that's connected there, where do things stand coming out of the visit? Because I was told it was Notre Dame and A&M as the top two heading into the trip. And coming out of it, it's the same thing. And Notre Dame improved their chances. This weekend's key because he's heading to College Station. He's going to visit A&M. So I really believe that, although I'm not expecting a decision immediately, I think Forstall is going to have a really good idea where he wants to go after this weekend. And then you brought up KJ Green. I think Notre Dame moved the needle in the sense of like cementing themselves as a top contender. But again, I think it's going to be, there's a group of like Texas and Auburn and Alabama and Miami, and South Carolina was a big one for him. So I think that Alabama, Miami, Notre Dame, South Carolina, and probably Texas are probably five schools that are probably doing the best job with him right now. KJ is going to take his official visits, move forward with the process, and then he's not going to announce until August 8th. So Notre Dame has time. He's going to announce his decision live on the CBS Sports College Football YouTube channel. And I'm going to make my way down to Georgia for that one to host it. So big one, but like they're going to have to play the long game when it comes to KJ Green.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if either of you guys have input or have heard anything just from the guys who are around Charlie Partridge over the weekend, but I know he has a big reputation as a developer of talent. But what's he kind of like, and how do they, what's feedback do the recruits have on him as a recruiter?
Yeah, I actually talked to Kellen Hall, a five-star in the 2028 class last night. He was on campus yesterday. And he went into that visit. He was very upfront with me. He's like, I really love Notre Dame. I've had a great relationship with them throughout the process. But I had a great relationship with Coach Washington, and he's gone. So I'm kind of, taking a step back. I got to restart, kind of lay some foundations with Notre Dame to know that they're going to be, that level of competitor moving forward. And when I talked to him, he said all those boxes were checked. He thought Coach Partridge was personable. He found the meeting informative because they went through like his NFL ties, his ties to J.J. Watt, and the guys he's coached in the past, and everything that Coach Partridge put in front of him, Kellen really received, to the point where when we were going through the interview, he was, and maybe this is Coach Freeman, maybe this is Coach Partridge, but it sounded like he spent most of his time with Partridge. He was repeating the motto, like, leave no doubt within the interview. And he was kind of, you could hear like the Notre Dame coach's messaging being repeated back through some of the answers. So clearly that stuff stuck with him. It really resonated. And, from my conversations with him, a lot of that is with Coach Partridge being this new presence, this dynamic presence who's really making himself known as a character, right? He's a fun guy, is what kind of like the feedback's been. And then you kind of have the consistency of guys like Myron Tagovailoa-Mosa and Nick Sebastian working in support with him. That's sort of bridging that relationship from the old staff. So I think he's been really good about leveraging those assistants, kind of getting the intel on guys before these conversations for what he needs to hit, and really kind of tactically saying, hey, here's the points I need to hit with each of you that I know are important from the work that, my assistants and everybody else has done.
Just to add to that, Charlie Partridge is an incredible football coach, and he's a great recruiter. I remember Director of Scouting Andrew Ivins with us at 24/7 Sports. He's a guy that has gotten to know Partridge well throughout his process. And to be completely honest, like the best coaching comp I could give is kind of like Mike Denbrock, a guy that can coach all over the field. He could coach every position. He could be a head coach. He coach on offense. He could coach on defense. But he also understands the importance of recruiting and connecting with guys. And I feel like I can describe Partridge the same way. So I love Al Washington, and he was terrific at his job. And I love that he was great with the defensive lineman. And but I really, really like the Partridge Nick Sebastian connection along the defensive line. I think that's going to pay major dividends, not only on the recruiting trail, but on the field as well. I mean, these guys are going to get the most out of the defensive linemen that are currently on the roster in South Bend.
And for those who don't know, Nick Sebastian was with Coach Washington, I think, since he arrived in South Bend. So he's a guy who's familiar with the program and stuff like that. So I'm sure that kind of helps bridge that gap after Coach Washington left. Touched on Jackson Vaughn a little bit. I think he was the best player I saw at Irish Invasion last year. Cam Wagner was also there, had a little bit of a tough day in part because he was going against the aforementioned Jackson Vaughn. But I know he's a guy that the staff is high on, and he was on campus last weekend. And how did that go with him and maybe some of the other offensive line on campus, Tom?
I don't know how else to put this, but other than Notre Dame leads, no question about it. I mean, I would be shocked if he didn't end up in South Bend with the Fighting Irish. I mean, this is a kid who loves Notre Dame. The family loves Notre Dame. This is the dream school for him. Everybody wants him there. I mean, I don't, unless Marcus Freeman and Joe Rudolph and Denbrock decide, like, hey, he's not our guy, Jackson Vaughn just beat him too bad. Then I struggle, man. I struggle to see any way Notre Dame gets beaten in this recruitment. Look, he loves the recruiting process. He's going to enjoy it a little bit more. But at this point, I don't know. I don't see any way Notre Dame loses this recruitment.
I had a chance after the visit to talk with both Cam and James Halter, the current Notre Dame commit, and they spent pretty much the entire day or the entire course of their visit, I should say, together. And one thing that really resonated with both of them was how close that 2026 offensive line group was, and how much of a just like a brotherhood was built on the recruiting visits between those guys. And all of, or I should say, James and Cam were both around those guys. They experienced that. They were kind of a part of it, as a younger group. And they both talked about the importance of creating that dynamic on these visits and enjoying and appreciating that time and building those connections looking forward. And when I talked to him, it almost like hearing both of them, like they really appreciate the time. They sort of already look at each other like, oh yeah, we're friendly, we're familiar, we have that. But it just felt a lot like that 2026 class where they're so tight and they're so close. And even before some guys commit, the way they talk about it, you're like, okay, it sounds like this is probably the place where you see yourself. So from talking to, both of those guys, I think that not only does Cam sort of see Notre Dame as, the place he wants to be, even if he's not ready to make that decision officially, I think that some of the commits around him see that as well.
What I believe there's another offensive lineman on campus, Albert Simeon. Do either of you have any thoughts on him and kind of how that weekend went for him?
Yeah, if I could just chime in quickly, I think Albert Siemian is a guy that is a unbelievable fit at Notre Dame, and you know it's not a guarantee that they're going to land him, and but they are. Notre Dame is putting their best foot forward. Joe Rudolph is doing an excellent job there, but in the end, I mean, this is a kid from Louisiana that LSU wants, A&M wants, and there's going to be a lot of competition. But man, I'm just kind of thinking out loud, like I'm a little surprised that Notre Dame is still in this recruitment, in the sense of like this kid is going to command top dollar. He's an elite prospect. He's got all of the SEC schools pushing for him. Like, if nothing else, it shows how ready for big boy recruiting and how dialed in the process is under Marcus Freeman and Carter Ammann and Mike Martin and all those guys on the staff. So really, really good job by the Fighting Irish to continue to move things in the right direction. I still think it's going to be a really, really tough land. But I will say this, he wanted to make a decision by this point. He was pretty adamant that a few weeks ago he was ready to make a decision and this was the timeline, but he decided like, I'm not ready to make a decision. And sometimes the obvious decision is not the one that ends up, you know, getting it done. And Notre Dame could be one of those schools that like, maybe that's why he decided not to commit at the time. So pretty interesting how it's all playing out, but Notre Dame, again, great job with Albert Siemian.
Last year, Notre Dame signed the top tight end prospect in the country in Ian Primer, who was also on campus last weekend. The Irish are looking to add another borderline 5-star in 2027 in Jackson Dollar. He was also in South Bend. Eric, where does Notre Dame stand with him after his visit, and what does the tight end board overall look like at the moment?
Well, for first question, where does Notre Dame stand? Right on top. I would say this is still Notre Dame's race to lose. Having spoken with Jackson several times over the course of the past year, and you know, following this weekend as well, he really values what Notre Dame has to offer. His family really values what Notre Dame has to offer, and they kind of operate as a pretty close-knit group, especially when it comes to getting these trips done and making decisions. So, the fact that it's a pretty cohesive look at, you know, hey, we really appreciate and value what Notre Dame has to offer is a good thing for them in this case specifically. But, you know, he came to Notre Dame this time around, like, I have a great relationship with Coach Bivens. I have a great relationship with Coach Freeman. I really want to get to know Mike Denbrock better. And it sounds like from talking to him, Notre Dame was not only able to create those opportunities and sort of move that needle forward, but Denbrock just absolutely crushed it. He was talking about, or Dollar was talking about, I should say, excuse me, was talking about how when he goes on these visits, he's trying to suss out, do coaches want him, the player he is and the type of athlete he is, or do they have an image of what he can be and they want him to fit that and change? And so he talked about that with the Notre Dame coaches. And Mike Denbrock apparently laughed and was like, I coach this guy named Tyler Eifert. You don't need to change. So that was definitely a big selling point for him. He sees that, you know, that vertical component, being able to beat linebackers, you know, vertically and then make catches over secondary players. He sees that value in the Notre Dame offense. Notre Dame is selling him that, you know, he can be that guy and create value, long-term value, NFL value there. So I like the Irish to get this done. The one sort of hard charger here, and there's several teams involved in this, don't get me wrong, but the one to really watch here is Georgia. Georgia is all in to land Jackson Dollar. The Bulldogs have established really good relationships with him, particularly with their tight ends coach and with Coach Smart. So the Bulldogs are close. He talked about them being around the corner. He called it a great opportunity when I asked him about it. So they're definitely in striking distance, but as long as Notre Dame can hold serve, I think they get this one done. He's been close to committing at least twice.
And to that point, like Georgia's going to get the last visit this spring. So I mean, Jackson Dollar sent me his visits, and it was like 12 on there, and I noticed like Notre Dame was kind of in the earlier third, and then Georgia gets the last one on April 18th. So it'll be interesting, man. It's tough. Like Notre Dame, in a perfect world, they would have loved for him to commit or even silent commit or anything like that, and it didn't happen. So I think there's a little bit of frustration because they know. Like they're not going to stop recruiting the position. I mean, we haven't even talked about Cooper Terwilliger, and there's some other targets on the board, and he's a top 247 guy in his own right. So they're not going to stop recruiting the position just because Jackson Dollar wants to take his time. Like they love the kid, they want him, but you know, as the months go on, they're not going to sit on their hands and just, you know, hope for the best. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because it's a long way until April 18th, and as we can see at the running back position, you know, numbers can go quickly.
And there are also, Eric, some 2028 tight end prospects who are on campus. What are you hearing about them? And I know we're a little further away from them, but it sounds like there's some good talent in South Bend.
Yeah, it was a mix of guys. Like I had a chance to talk to Bennett Conyers, tight end from down in Tennessee, not looking at it, but he loved his visit. Like he was really excited. He doesn't have an offer yet, but he was given the opportunity to kind of lay out the conversation of, hey, here's what it would look like for you to come back on campus and work out, and kind of the marks that we look for to give these offers. And talking to him about that, he was really just appreciative of the transparency. He definitely identified quite a bit with like how Notre Dame uses tight ends. He sees himself as like a traditional inline that can also receive. He sees himself as that full, that full well-rounded tight end, and he thinks he can, flourish in that role at Notre Dame. So even for guys like that who don't have offers, they were super impressive. As for some of the other guys, just getting the list pulled up here in front of me, I know Breck Brady as well is another guy who really enjoyed his time. He's from Oklahoma. He's interesting. He's huge. So he's one of those guys who's, when he comes into the room, he's like first guy off the bus kind of build from what you see on his profile. Just a couple guys that really, like I said, they talk with Mike Denbrock. They really like their time with Coach Bivin. Strong impressions, but not a ton of, I guess, forward motion except for, hey, we want to get back on campus, check out a game, and continue to explore options with Notre Dame when offers become more realistic.
Yeah, just to kind of add to that, I mean, put the crystal ball pick in on Jack McNamara. I would be shocked if he didn't end up at Notre Dame in 2028. I mean, the kid, we talked about this earlier with another prospect, but grew up a Notre Dame fan. He's a huge Notre Dame fan now. Family feels the same way. I mean, this kid is all about Notre Dame. So, and Notre Dame was very impressed with him. So he's a guy that I would be shocked if he didn't end up with the Fighting Irish. And then the other one that I spoke with was Trey Euler. I believe he's out of Wisconsin. He was able to connect with, it was either Wisconsin or Iowa. Either way, he was able to connect with Eli Raritan on his visit, which seemed to make a big impact on him. And although Notre Dame hasn't offered yet, I was told like undoubtedly they're going to offer. It's just a timing issue, so they're going to let it play out a little longer. But he's going to get a Notre Dame offer, and Notre Dame is going to have a real shot to land him as well.
I'm just going to throw this question out there, but it just occurred to me. But obviously, spring practice just started last Friday. Then also, Pro Day was this week. So that's kind of nearby. A lot of guys are on campus for that. How much is Notre Dame able to use that as a recruiting tool, noting that you have guys like Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price coming back on campus, Malachi Fields has stayed here, that you have some of these bigger names here right at the time you're getting all these guys to come on campus?
I want to answer from my perspective as like a guy who covers this. And Eric, I would love for you to take from the internal side, from when you were there in the building, and like, why you thought it was important to, or the impact, you saw on that front. But for me, just covering it, I would say as cool as these guys want to play it, I guarantee that Sagara and Rogers and all these guys and Wisenton going to Notre Dame and seeing Jeremiah Love, I guarantee they were kind of fanboying a little bit. So if you get those guys alongside CJ Carr and even the Eli Raritans, like they have to be fired up and excited to see these guys. Because no, they're not celebrities, but see these guys on TV every week. They see them on social media. They get the Heisman talk. Like these are guys that are going to be day one NFL draft picks, and you know that these guys light up. So again, a good program has a lot of good talent, and when you get them all together in one place, you know the recruits are going to be fired up. So good job by Notre Dame for doing this and having a big visit weekend around the Pro Day and having these guys back on campus and on campus in general. And then to that same point, like I love the fact that Notre Dame's only going to have like two big official visit weekends, because I think it's like you create this bond, this brotherhood, which is really what Notre Dame's all about, as you guys can both attest. And I just think that the way they're handling everything behind the scenes, not a lot of fluff, not a lot of rah-rah. I mean, very professional, very business-like, NFL-like. I mean, I really like what they're doing behind the scenes.
From the other perspective, Tom, what I think is interesting about leveraging these moments is I remember when I was on campus and doing visits and guides and stuff. I had a day where I was assigned with Clark Phillips, who ended up committing to Ohio State, flipping to Utah, and now he's with the Atlanta Falcons. Whole debacle there. But when his visit was being set up, we do the prep, we make sure we understand, what's going in, what are the big questions, what are the qu questions for the parents, what meetings we need to send up. But we had a bunch of guys, the staff at that point had a bunch of guys working out. training for the NFL draft, and Julian Love was one of those guys. So we, as a staff, set up that meeting during the course of practice. I would bring Clark Phillips across the field to meet with Julian Love, and it was supposed to be about a 10-minute meeting, kind of rounding out the end of practice before he had to go to a position group meeting with, I think it was Coach Light at that point. But Julian Love was so graceful or grateful with his time that he just talked to him for like 20, 25 minutes. And they ended up having a nice connection on the sideline. He was really pumped about Notre Dame coming out of that visit. It was just a really sort of organic moment. Like, we set it up, it was fixed, but Julian took it and ran. And I think the consistency of messaging with that, with how Notre Dame talks about the alumni network and what that can do for you. Obviously, as people on the outside, we kind of think of that as only life after football, but that NFL alumni stuff really resonates with these guys as well. It's not a separate category. So to have Julian Love and, same thing happened with like Miles Boykin and receivers in the past, we set up connections with, like, to have those guys being able to speak on their Notre Dame experience and the challenges they faced, the stuff that they really loved, and just give that perspective. It's instant credibility speaking to these guys. And especially when they come in with questions, normally they're getting answers with firsthand accounts to directly address those things that, look, as an assistant, as a coach, you can't answer and have the same level of credibility because no matter how much you speak to it, you're not in their shoes. So it's just a little bit of a different opportunity to be able to give them an understanding about Notre Dame.
All makes a lot of sense to me. And then I also saw on Wednesday, I don't know if there were recruits there, but there was Quentin Nelson there working out with some of the offensive line, instructing them, which I'm sure is also would be a big recruiting selling point given what he's done in the NFL. But I want to move on to defensive back. I know five-star John Meredith, it sounds like, didn't make it to campus, but still some big time prospects in South Bend over the weekend. And I know that's also a position where they've already done pretty well. So Eric, you put in the notes, retention is kind of the name of the game. So where are they kind of in that perspective coming out of the last weekend?
Yeah, just speaking on retention, I'll say flatly, I don't think they have anything to worry about with Khalil Terry. That kid is locked in. He loves Notre Dame. As soon as Mike Mickens left, I reached out to him. He's like, "Hey, how you feeling?" He's like, "Yeah, it's not great, but I committed to Notre Dame for upteen other reasons other than Mike Mickens. So at the end of the day, it doesn't bother me. So I wouldn't worry about him." Ace Alston and Zay Hassan. Once again, I wouldn't worry, but I will say that there's more of an active effort to get them to turn their heads. Miami, Michigan have made calls just among several schools. Like, there are very concerted efforts to try and get those guys to consider other schools. To this point, they've scheduled no visits. They haven't really seemed to be publicly interested in taking visits. I think the most was sort of a passing comment, like, "Yeah, we'll see if maybe that happens." So I just don't think that there's a ton of interest from their side in making those moves, but it's not stopping schools from reaching out. But Aaron Henry has continued to do a good job. He met with those guys soon after he got hired. He's maintained communication with them, and everything they've done, including going after the number one corner in the country, John Meredith, like, everything they've done has been built on communication with these guys. Like, what we're doing here involves you guys in the future picture. So as we build this board and do everything else, everything we're doing is still going to be focused on, we're going to be in contact with you to keep you in this class.
If I could just kind of touch on the guy that was the big name defensive back that I felt like Notre Dame made a huge move with was Zaden Gamble, a kid I've gotten to know extremely well, top 247 safety out of the Sunshine State. I mean, look, coming into this visit, I was told it was Florida, Ohio State, Notre Dame in that order. And coming out of the visit, we got some movement. Like Notre Dame, from what I'm told, and this kind of shocks me based on how closely this kid was ready to commit to Florida at one point, Notre Dame leads. And look, we have a long way to go until he makes his decision on his birthday, I believe is July 16th. Another one who's going to announce live on CBS Sports College Football YouTube channel with yours truly hosting. I'm going to be in the Sunshine State for that one. So while I thought I was going down there to host a Florida commitment, we have a possibility that I'll be going down there to host a Notre Dame commitment. I mean, Notre Dame moved the needle. I had a friend of mine that knows him well that kind of scoffed when I said that I had heard Notre Dame made a move. And I'm like, oh, no way, he's going to be a Gator. And then coming out of the trip, I'm hearing a lot of positive buzz in the sense of like Notre Dame felt like he was close to really committing and shutting it down during this visit. So like it was that close. So really good job by the staff. It was a shocker to me to hear that. But again, this is a kid who is extremely close. I mean, I don't want to throw the term best friends out there with Julius Jones, the top 247, top 100 really wide receiver. but they are extremely close, really, really good friends. And I'm not saying they're going to pick the same school and it's a factor in their decisions, but I feel like if you get one, it's going to help go a long way to get the other. Man, that would be two massive wins for Notre Dame.
And then the last one I'll throw out for the DBs, just to round it out, Phoenix Evans, 2028 defensive back, is a guy that's been on the Notre Dame board for a while. Another standout at Irish Invasion last year, despite being one of the youngest guys in attendance. He transferred to IMG Academy within the last, what was it, last 3 6 months. But he is continuing to have a high degree of interest in Notre Dame. He just keeps coming back. He loves what the team's all about. He was another guy who, when Mickens left, was like, that's tough, but I like Notre Dame for other reasons. He has a great relationship with Marcus Freeman, and they've made him, such a key priority that every single time he comes to campus, he continues to build that relationship with Coach Freeman, even though he's younger. So he's a guy that I think he's probably a little bit aways from this thing being over, regardless of commitment status. Obviously, 28 signing, but I would be shocked if Notre Dame is not in that race until the very end.
And that's a kid that Chris Ash knows extremely well, and there's some ties there from his Jersey days. And I would be, I don't want to say I'm shocked, but I think Notre Dame eventually lands that kid. And man, I saw him for the first time live this offseason at Battle Miami and was blown away. Like, you don't get a lot of highlight tapes you can put together with DBs and corners and safeties, but Phoenix Evans was playing with SFE at the time, South Florida Express, and he was locking down everybody. It was awesome to see. He's slight of stature, not the biggest kid in the world. He might only be 5'8", 5'9", but man, he is a dog and a technician, and he's a guy that I think is going to have a really, really good college career.
It's about linebacker. They already have one commit in Amari Irvin, but they had two other prospects on campus this past weekend, and they only took two linebackers last cycle. So I'm kind of curious what you guys see. Tom, we'll start with you. What you see for that group who are on campus this weekend, and what the overall numbers look like in terms of what Notre Dame wants to pursue this year.
Yeah, I mean, we had two, Eric, and you can take the other one. We had top 247 linebacker Noah Glover, and then three-star linebacker Joakim Gouda. I'll take Gouda, and this is a kid that I've gotten to know really well throughout his process. He's a guy that I think is going to be a stock-up guy for us at 247. Really impressive kid, and a guy that Notre Dame coming out of this visit absolutely loves and wants. Now, it's interesting because he's from Georgia, and it's not like he's some underrated guy that Georgia doesn't know about. I mean, Georgia was one of his first offers, if not his first offer. Kirby Smart badly wants him. The Bulldogs are all over him. So as long as that continues, I do think that Georgia's going to be tough to beat. But if Joakim Gouda decides to kind of carve his own path and go his own direction, he could absolutely end up at Notre Dame, which surprises me. Would have surprised me heading into the visit, but coming out of it, man, you talk to him, you talk to Notre Dame and sources in South Bend, and just it's clear that they connected in a big way. And everybody around him was feeling good vibes when it came to the Fighting Irish, and Marcus Freeman made a great impression. So, like this, I think again, the three-star tab, everybody's like, eh, it's fine to be a nice win. I'm telling you, like, Gouda is a guy that is going to, in my opinion, my humble opinion, don't tell the scouting team, I think he's going to be a guy that moves up the rankings. And ends up with, he's got an elite offer list. He's got everybody pushing for him. And I think Notre Dame is right in the mix.
And then the other guy here, Noah Glover. Honestly, a little bit similar in that he's a perceived Georgia lean. We actually have a prediction from 247 Network's partner here, Colby Crawford, who covers Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's in on this fight. He predicted him to Georgia. So it always means something when one of the opposing beat writers in the race is predicting. But I know Noah Glover, he really enjoyed his Notre Dame visit. He's a guy who's interesting because he has like really coast to coast interest. We say that about a lot of guys, but his is literally from Oregon out to Georgia. He's another guy with Texas A&M, and the reason they keep coming up, I mean, Texas A&M over the past few years has been one of the best recruiting programs in the country. It's taken another step with Mike Elko here recently. So it's going to be a tough battle. And as Tom wrote in his wrap up, like, look, they got to get him on campus for that official visit. That's the next step to get him in. But Notre Dame helped themselves here. I think coming into this weekend, the perception was it was probably Georgia in the field. And I think Notre Dame has put themselves in a competitive spot, but they're probably not an outright favorite. They're not going to be, the betting odds favorite until they get an official visit scheduled, get him on campus, and crush that trip. That's what it's going to take to land a guy like Glover. They're doing all the right steps to put themselves in position to get there, but they have to get that next step locked in.
Eric, what do you think is like the ideal number for linebackers this cycle after only taking two last year?
Yeah, it's been a position Notre Dame has been very privileged to have a lot of veteran guys in, at any given moment the last few years. We're kind of running to the end of that road where there's just got to be a lot of young guys stepping up. Honestly, you're probably looking at a 2 to 3 linebacker class here, right, Tom? Because you got two last year, but you're looking at Jalen Snead, who's more of that hybrid player, but he's going to be gone after this year. You're also going to be losing Drake Bowen. And then who knows, if there's a surprise NFL entry from Kingsley Viliamuasa or anyone else. So there's possibilities here for turnover of 2, 3 guys within the room itself, bef just from graduation and, NFL draft. I think you got to look to try to replace that, especially since as good as, Jacoby Clapper and Thomas Davis are, both of those guys look like players who probably need to add weight before they're ready to be 3-down contributors at the college level. So if you're projecting out weight room gain from those guys, you're not sure if they're going to be ready next year. You're probably going to be looking at adding, 2, 3 bodies just so you can make sure you have that kind of competition circling in the room.
I think that's a fair number. I think two to three is a good number. I think it's going to be, I'm kind of just peeking at the linebacker board as a whole. I mean, it's going to be tough to land some of these guys. Caden Henderson, top 100 linebacker. When a kid tells me that he didn't love the cold weather, no matter how much he loves Notre Dame, like I think there's going to be an issue there. Like I think he really likes Notre Dame. I think he really likes Marcus Freeman and the staff, and like they have a shot. They're in his top five. Like, they're gonna have a shot, but it's again, when you struggle with the cold weather, it's gonna be a tough land.
Tough.
I think Roman Igwebike is a guy out of Chicago that they have a really good shot to land. Noah Glover, we've talked about. They just offered. Here's what's kind of interesting to me. So they just offered 4-star Tate Wallace out of Iowa. He was just on campus. They offered him. I don't think that Notre Dame is laying out the red carpet. I don't think they're pushing too hard for a commitment. So it means if that's the case, and if you're not gonna green light a talented, coveted linebacker, and a Navy All-American, that means you feel good about some guys, especially coming out of the weekend. So, if it's Glover, if it's Gouda, if it's a few other guys, that means that they clearly feel good about a couple of guys. So I think they're gonna let it play out with a handful of guys before they really push for Wallace. But I think two to three is the number. They have a nice staple piece in Amari Irvin. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's a damn good linebacker. I'll say that.
Yeah, he
And
is.
if you could get Gouda and you can get Glover, I mean, that's a really, really good linebacker group headed to South Bend. So long way to go. And again, I mean, look, it's March 26th. There's going to be new guys that emerge throughout the cycle. I mean, there's absolutely guys we're not talking about right now that are going to end up in Notre Dame's class. But right now, I think the board's a little shaky. It is surely a lot less shaky coming out of this weekend.
And the last thing we're going to touch on from Junior Day is quarterback, which might be a little surprise, but they obviously had Teddy Girard, a 2026 now signee after he reclassified from the 2027 class. And he was on a campus for his official visit before he joins the program over the summer. And then they also had two 2028 prospects on campus, I believe. Eric, how did it kind of work with quarterback recruiting, and where do things stand with the two prospects that are on campus?
Yeah, it was great visits for both. I'll let Tom speak a little bit more to Neiman Lawrence's visit just because I know they have a good connection. But for Lucas Prok, I got a chance to speak with him. Shout out Hun School and my good buddy Jess Coleman, who has the JV sacks record at Hun School. But yeah, he had a great visit. He's one of those guys who he's very patient and understanding with how Notre Dame goes about their business. He knows Notre Dame doesn't offer a lot of quarterbacks. He's not taking it personally that they're not as aggressive about doing so as some of the other schools on his list. They spoke with him pretty transparently from what he told me. It was, I'm right in that top group around the top of the board. They didn't say if I'm at, number one or whatever, but I'm right in striking distance to be one of the guys who gets an offer. They like what I've shown on film. They like, every meeting they've had with me. They want to see me throw in person. So he's now looking to return to campus. I believe he told me in the spring. So probably looking at like May to throw for the coaches ahead of like the Irish invasion camps and everything. I think we'll probably see something similar to last cycle where Notre Dame takes a little bit of time, does due diligence, gets a, a healthy group of a collection of guys to come on campus and throw for Coach Guidugli and company. He's one of the ones who could earn an offer. He's definitely pretty high on the Irish. If they were to offer, I would say that they're definitely going to be in his top three-ish, might even jump to number one. It just sort of depends on the full slate of visits. I think he has like 8 of them over the next couple of weeks. So depending on how those visits go, that could alter where Notre Dame would ultimately be in the stack if they were to offer, but they're going to be within that top three. Values academics, values the offense that Mike Denbrock and company run, feels like he can be really successful. He even talks about, like, when he told me what he's trying to work on this year, he mentioned he's working on like launch point and getting to his spot in the pocket. And he mentioned how CJ Carr got better at that throughout the course of the year last year. So just little things that messaging wise track well. I think Lucas Prok is a name to watch in 2028, but as Tom will tell us, there might be another top target here in that class.
And Neiman Lawrence is the guy. He is the guy for every school in the country in 2028, unless you have a commitment from Jayden Wade and you're Georgia. I mean, Neiman Lawrence is a guy that I've gotten to know well over the last couple of years. And yeah, he's a 2028, and he's likely to stay in 2028, barring a change. I mean, I think that's the plan. So don't look for a reclassification. I think he kind of was weighing his options, and I think he's gonna get the additional reps in high school and stay in 28. But Neiman Lawrence he's that guy. I mean, I'm telling you, there's a lot of debate around the top quarterback in the country in 2028. And I think, I mean, love Jayden Wade, but if it was really my sole decision and I'm ranking him, Neiman's the guy I'm putting at the top. And there's some really talented folks, but Lawrence is a guy I trust, man. And I think he's gonna have a great college career. I think he's gonna be an NFL draft pick, an early NFL draft pick. And I'm just the sky's the limit for that kid. So what's interesting is that Notre Dame has really, really grabbed his attention. He is a great fit for anybody who doesn't know him. He is just as good off the field as he is on the field. I mean, he is a tremendous, tremendous kid that I'm super excited about. And Notre Dame grabbed his attention. He's had a couple good visits there, and the lack of official offer is what it is. I mean, if that kid wanted to call Notre Dame tomorrow and commit, I do not see Marcus Freeman or Gino Guidulli or Mike Denbrock saying no to him. It's going to be interesting though, because there is a lot of pull for him from Miami. There is an opportunity there that excites him. It's home for him, and growing up around the program. But there's a couple other schools like Texas A&M has grabbed his attention. Ohio State's grabbed his attention. So it's going to be interesting. But we are getting closer to a decision. Like, he's going to be one of those guys that makes an early commitment. He's camped everywhere he needs to camp. He's thrown everywhere. Everybody's seen a million clips. I don't have any questions about the kid. I think he's tremendous. So kudos for Notre Dame for like firmly entering the mix and cementing themselves as a player. He sees some similarities in the way he throws the football, and the way he's wired to CJ Carr. I wouldn't say he's the athlete CJ is. I think CJ is kind of an underrated athlete, a guy who can use his legs at a high level. But Neiman is a tremendous passer that, man, if Notre Dame can land him, it is ridiculous how bright that future is going to be after CJ Carr. And you brought up, Drew, you brought up Teddy Girard, and I just want to touch on it. I told Erica this. We talked about it a couple times. I was a little underwhelmed with Teddy early, and I know he had the reclassification, and he changed schools and faced different competition, all that kind of stuff. For me, again, it's all about the eye test. All of that is out the window. I am super high on Teddy Girard. I get it after seeing him a bunch of times this offseason. Love the way he's wired. Love the way he throws the football. He's got some CJ Carr to him in a lot of ways. Tremendous fit. I hope that he kind of just links on and attaches to the hip of CJ Carr the way CJ did with Riley Leonard, and it's only going to help them get better. I think the future is bright after CJ Carr, and I think the future is going to be with Teddy Girard.
Awesome. And on that note, that's all we have for our junior day discussion, but we'll be right back with segment two, Burning Up the Boards. And we're back. We'll close things out with segment two, Burning Up the Boards. Our first question is from RPM Go Irish. How would you prioritize the defensive line and edge prospects? Tom, we'll start with you.
Well, I think you make sure that KJ Green and Zyron Forster are your top priorities along the edge, along with Abraham Cisse. I mean, those guys are difference makers in every sense of the word, like just special, special players that get after the quarterback with ease. And I mean, in the end, if we really called it, if it was signing day today, those are 3 5-star prospects. Cisse is right on the cusp. He's 27th in the country. So I think that you go all in for your top targets. I mean, KJ, again, these guys are as special as you're going to find this cycle. But like, as you move down the board and you're looking at the edge board, I mean, Aiden O'Neal has been a continued stock up guy for us. at 24/7 Sports, and really like those like that four right there, because I feel like some of the other guys that Eric might mention more on the interior or the true defensive linemen, those are the guys that really help you not just make the playoffs but win national championships. Because so again, I think that there's, I said it earlier in the last segment, I mean, there's guys we're not talking about right now, but that are going to end up at Notre Dame's class. But until these guys say no, I think that group of four right there off the edge, I mean, those are the guys that you go all in for, make a priority, and do everything possible to land and bring to South Bend.
Yeah, looking on the interior, I mean, I think you're kind of looking at a situation where there's a big three in 2027. That's going to be David Fuller-Runshow, Braden Parks, and Marcus Fakatu. Obviously, at different points, it's looked like Notre Dame was the outright leader for some of those guys. At this point, it still looks like Notre Dame is kind of the leader for at least Parks and Fuller-Runshow. But Ohio State recently offered on the latter case. I know they're going to be a major player. He's still an emerging guy. I mean, he was pretty universally looked at as a three-star until like a month ago. So his profile is still exploding and growing on the national scene as he gets more offers. So calling Notre Dame the favorite does feel accurate, but maybe a little bit presumptive, because there's still room to grow within his race. For Braden Parks, I mean, he's a top of the board guy, been top of the board. He's been to Notre Dame so many times, it's a little bit like, why hasn't he committed yet? But I think he's one of those guys who enjoys the process. He wants to make sure he's making the right decision for himself and his family. And no matter how much he sees Notre Dame is a fit for him, and Notre Dame continues to press, I think he wants to continue to play out the process a little more and just make sure that he's comfortable with that decision before ultimately making an announcement. And then in the Fakatu sweepstakes, I mean, he has seems to have a new favorite every other week. He's visiting a lot of places. I think he's just at a period where he's taking in options. And after Coach Washington left and Notre Dame, who was the pretty clearly the lead horse, kind of more fell to, join the pack, I think at this point he's just really being patient about trying to identify the schools he wants to take official visits to, getting that stuff scheduled, and kind of identifying, hey, there's maybe a few other schools that I need to look at here. So he's a little bit different. But further down the board, there's a few other options for him. You got guys like Carlos May. I don't know that I see him ending up at Notre Dame, but they are certainly pushing. You got a guy out in modern day, Montana Toilolo, another West Coast guy, Tavita Nonu, and a few other ones there. So I would say everything filters through those top three, but Notre Dame has a pretty good abundance of options on the interior defensive line, especially if you assume one of, Parks or Fuller-Runshow joins the class. It's probably a safe bet.
And just to add on Fuller-Runshow quickly, the text I got when I asked about the class and a board rundown by a person that would absolutely know was the kid is the direct quote. I was just looking at my phone. The kid is going to end up at Notre Dame. That was the direct quote I got when it came to David Fuller-Runshow, which would be a massive win because we're talking about a guy who's 79th in the country at 24/7 Sports, a potential five star, and would be a huge pickup for Notre Dame.
Our next question is from DrewBy09. Who do you think Notre Dame's top two priorities are at the following positions? And I'll name a position and then you guys can each quickly give your opinion on that position. So we'll start with quarterback.
Camden Lopati is number one. Oh, sorry.
No,
Sorry, I
go
should have
ahead.
went
Go
that
ahead.
way.
No, I like it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Camden Lopati is number one, man. That kid, he's awesome. There's a lot of interest. He's an Illinois commit for now. He's going to be visiting Notre Dame here soon, here in the spring, next couple weeks. Look, he has a lot of interest in Notre Dame. He wanted the Notre Dame offer before he committed to Illinois. That was something that was a priority. At this point, I would say that the mutual interest between him and Notre Dame puts him kind of in a tier of his own. After that, I would say between Davin Davidson and Champ Mons, I would identify Champ Mons as more of that second pick. I think that the Notre Dame staff feels a little bit more bullish about the mutual interest there. I think that with Mons being a reclassified prospect, excuse me, and was just in the state title game here last year, I think there's a lot of excitement about his ascension and sort of the style of play that he can add to the Notre Dame quarterbacks room. So I would go ahead and pencil him in second. Davin Davidson appears to be looking elsewhere more seriously.
It's hard to argue, man. I hard to argue with that. I mean, Camden Lopati's been the guy that Notre Dame has kind of sunk their teeth into, and they feel really good about it, and they feel like they can flip him from Illinois. So I'm gonna go with Lopati as well. If it was my quarterback room, I would say Davin Davidson is the guy I'd be going all in for. But until he tells me he's 100% taking a visit to Notre Dame, I think he too is like you mentioned looking elsewhere. But I will say this, like there's a weird sense of, I wouldn't call it optimism coming from Notre Dame. Like, they love David Davidson.
Yeah.
And the way they're talking about it, they expect him to visit at some point. And he's a kid that, like, Notre Dame resonates with this kid. So I really don't think, unless there was like an academic issue or some reason where Notre Dame couldn't get him on campus, like, I would be shocked if he didn't visit South Bend at some point. So if that happens, I mean, all bets are off because he's a kid who could be wowed by everything he sees.
We'll go with running back next, and we'll start with you, Tom.
I mean, I'm gonna go with Laython Wisenton as the top. No, he's
Okay.
obviously he was a huge deal for them and a guy they really wanted. But they had a group, man. It was Trey Sagara. It was Isaiah Rogers. I mean, it's really those two that they're really pushing for. And I love this live stuff because Davin Davidson just texted me back and he said, "I'm not gonna make it to Notre Dame." So we can probably check him off the board and remove him right now. Just a quick live update here at Irish Illustrated. So, again, all eyes are on Camden Lapati, or a new name who emerges. But I think at running back, they're just waiting for Trey Sagara or Isaiah Rogers to really pull the trigger. They would love Noah Roberts, but I've always kind of got the vibe that like he's kind of looking to stay out west. But man, if that's your two-man class, you get one of these guys that I think Notre Dame absolutely leads for Isaiah Rogers. They're in the top two for David Trey Sagara. Man, that'd be a heck of a class for Jawan Sider.
Yeah, it's honestly, from a fun perspective, it's a little disappointing that it sounds like the two-man class of Cigar and Roberts isn't realistic. But again, it's probably more realistic to go about that way, and that's why they took the commitment from Wisenton. So, look, I would say at this point, Cigara and Roberts were kind of the ideal top two-man class once Keeman Spell fell off the board. I would still say Cigar is probably that number one target, if you want to call him that, but Rogers is not far behind. He's right there as well. Looking, further down the board, there are some other guys that have official visits set. Wayne Shanks Jr. is a guy who's going to be there later this offseason. Terrence Grant Jr. has an official visit set. And then Brennan Lacy is also going to be back later this offseason. So there's a few further down the board options at running back that they've taken the steps to preserve the opportunity with. But frankly, given the momentum they have with some of the higher up targets this weekend, I would be a little bit surprised if those guys end up at Notre Dame here today. Not saying it's impossible, but it just looks like there's probably some other priorities.
And I think Keldrick Benz visiting, right? Like if I remember
Yeah,
correctly. So he's
totally
coming
forgot
in. He's
about
an
that. Yeah.
Oklahoma commit. So, he's one to watch. I mean, so just playing devil's advocate and crazy, getting in my head, like, hey, we have one spot left. Do you want to visit? Absolutely, I do. Comes to visit. So, hey, he might jump into the fold and snag that second spot. So these dominoes, man, they have an impact. So he's one to watch this weekend as long as he makes it to campus.
Wide receivers next. Eric, we'll go with you first.
I mean, we all know the guy at the top, Julius Jones, legacy prospect, one of the best prospects in America in the 2027 cycle. He's not the biggest dude in the world. Like, he's not built like a borderline or blue chip receiver, I should say. But he just makes plays, man. He gets open so easily. Like, Notre Dame sees him as a potential impact player in the slot, at field receiver. They think he can do a lot of different things. And having the chance to see him in person, he just has a different gear through his breaks, like acceleration through the breaks to get himself open. It's just kind of remarkable to watch. So they see him as, can't miss. We got to get that guy, number one prospect. Thereafter, there's a kind of a collection of four-star receivers that Notre Dame is really interested in. Quentin Burrell has been the name that we've been tracking for a long time. Local kid, four-star boundary receiver skill set. I mean, he just checks every box that Notre Dame's been hunting in the high school level. He's in their backyard and he has mutual interest. Miles McAfee is another player that probably over the last few months has really emerged more and more on the Notre Dame board. Cade Cooper is another guy sort of in that same category. He's emerged more and more over the past couple of months. I think the mutual interest there is really strong. He's from a profile school at Malvern Prep. So those are kind of the main ones that I would keep an eye on. There's a few other guys I'm sure Loy can mention here that are, well on the board and that Notre Dame is in on. But if you're looking at, top priority and best chance to land, those are kind of where my mind goes.
Yeah, I think you nailed it with Julius Jones, Cade Cooper, and I guess Quentin Burrell. I'd probably say those are the guys that Notre Dame would love to land. But I guess a guy that they moved the needle with this past weekend was Julian Caldwell, who was up there on the junior day visit. I think he's a guy that was blown away by his time at Notre Dame. So That'll be one to watch moving forward. Everybody seemed to love the visit, him and his family. So he's the guy that Notre Dame is firmly in the picture for wide receiver.
Last is linebacker, which I kind of already asked you guys about earlier, but Tom, we'll start with you if you have anything else to add.
No, I think a couple of guys that they really like Josiah Poyer, probably going to be a tough land, especially with USC making him a huge priority. Kenneth Simon the second, right here in my backyard in Nashville, Tennessee. He let me know this morning he's actually not going to take his previously scheduled visit to Notre Dame, which is a blow because he's about as elite as you'll find at the position this cycle. I don't know. I think Jalathan Mayfield's on the board, but Joakim Noah Glover, Roman Igwebike, those are probably the guys to know to potentially join Amari Irvin in this class.
Yeah, I agree. And if you're gonna look at it as like top priority for me, it would be, I know he's maybe the lowest ranked of the bunch, but Gooden's the guy I'm looking at, man. That guy is a freak. He can pass rush, he can do all sorts of different things in the field, like athletically. He's long, like he's built a little bit different. That's the guy I would be looking at, is regardless of ranking, with Amari Irvin already in the class and the board kind of shaping out the way it is. For my money, he's about the best value you can get at linebacker to round out this class.
Our last question is from RV Mitchell 12. Coming off my customary couple of months break around March/February and getting back into the swing of recruiting for the cycle, what do you assess as Notre Dame's biggest need to fill this class, and how are they progressing with getting there? Which names are you heavily in the is Notre Dame heavily in the mix for, and who should I irrationally get my hopes up for? Appreciate all you guys do.
I mean, the priorities, I mean, we kind of went position by position for the most part. So it's kind of like those are the names to know. But I like where things stand right now. You got to get a quarterback, man. There's no bigger priority, especially after landing Blake Hebert in 25 and obviously Noah Grubbs and Tay Gerard in 26. I think a top priority is getting a quality arm and talent. And while I like Camden Lapati, I think that there's some bigger fish potentially out there. Guys that I've seen on the circuit that Notre Dame and others know about. And we'll see what happens if they expand the board a little bit. But I'm trying to think of like maybe a position we haven't really talked about so far. I'd say safety. Greedy James, committed to Texas, is a guy that Notre Dame would love to land. I think that's a priority. Just saw him for the first time in New Orleans at the opening event, and he actually got open, so he earned an invite to the opening finals. I'd say he had an up and down day, but I think he had some flashes that kind of, I see why Notre Dame fans and everybody else is excited to potentially flip him from Texas. And a guy that Notre Dame loves is Gavin Williams, top 247 safety out west. Now, the bad news there is that sources are telling me USC is turning up the heat and sinking their teeth in on that one. And I think no matter what Washington does, no matter what Notre Dame does, I just think that USC is going to be tough to beat there. So if you can pull off Khalil Terry and then get Zaden Gamble, potentially pull off Greedy James, I think that takes everything up a notch in the secondary at safety. I love what they did so far at corner, but I'd like to see them add one more in Tavarius Harrington. But all in all, man, I just a little light at linebacker. We'll see what happens. I think they're gonna land some really good defensive linemen. I think they're in a good spot on the opposite side of the ball, but they have to close a receiver. And I think a lot of that is because is gonna play out once you land a big fish at the quarterback position.
Yeah, to break it up and look at it a little differently, the linebacker point is the one that my mind keeps going to, just because we talked about the amount of talent Notre Dame has had there in recent years. So if you want to continue that pipeline of like NFL caliber talent in that room, it starts with landing a volume of guys this class and making sure you have options moving forward. But another one that I would say is a key priority for Notre Dame and kind of assessing is the interior defensive line. I know our colleague John Bryce harps on it a lot on the Insider podcast. Notre Dame recruits, really well. Marcus Freeman's raised the bar pretty much across the board, but the one thing they're missing is that blue chip bona fide stud in the middle of the defensive line. They have not just one option, like we've kind of grown accustomed to. You take your big swing and that's your guy. They have several options that check that box in this cycle. And not only do they have several options, they have at least three options that they've led at least part of this cycle for. So when you're looking at that interior defensive line position, given the coaching turnover, maybe, you know, it's an easy thing to go, oh, well, maybe this won't be the class. Like, no, they've kept the heat up. They've stayed involved. They're continuing to push the right buttons in these races. It would be a disappointment if Notre Dame didn't land at least two out of three of those big three that I mentioned earlier on the defense, interior defensive line. So that's, I would call, the biggest priority for, if you want to call it, getting over the championship hump moving forward. Like, that's the biggest needle mover for me. They got to land at least one of Fuller, Runcho, Facato, or Braden Parks.
So, well, that's all for burning up the boards. Thanks to everyone who tuned in to listen to Irish Illustrated's Tracking the Trail. Eric and Tom, I really enjoyed your perspective and inside info on Notre Dame's Junior Day. We'll be back tomorrow with an Irish Illustrated incident analysis after post-practice interviews with Notre Dame's running back and wide receivers. Then we'll be back with two new episodes of Irish Illustrated Insider Podcast next week on Monday and Thursday. I'm Drew Mentak with Irish Illustrated, with Eric Thomas, also of Irish Illustrated, and Tom Loy of 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports. We'll see you all again soon.